This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, we talk to Po Yong-Chin of Burlington Tailor, better known by his moniker, YQ.
So, for just give you an idea, for a suit, we start with 2003. The most expensive suits we ever can sew is 650,000, just for one jacket and one pack.
After that, Florence Song, style lead at Zalora, shares her thoughts on a rather bold fashion trend, oversized knitted sweaters.
Cardigans, these days you can wear it like all buttoned up and, you know, as a top itself, despite, you know, the fabric.
But before we get to that, I have Othniel Ting with me here in the studio, and we're going to go over some fashion headlines. Now, for our first story this week, Wanda Ferragamo has died last Friday at the age of 96 in her hilltop villa near Florence. Now, Wanda stepped in to run her husband's business, Salvatore Ferragamo's shoemaking business, after his death in 1960. And then she oversaw its expansion into a global luxury goods brand. I mean...
And I read that she didn't actually like study business or anything, but when she took over, she wanted to... make sure that the legacy of her husband continues, so very commendable.
That's right. And you know, when Salvatore Ferragamo died of cancer back in 1960, at the age of 63, and Mrs. Ferragamo, which is Wanda Ferragamo, was only 38.
Yeah.
And then she decided to take over the business herself, despite no experience working in any of the industry or anywhere at all. She has always been a housewife. And then she said that at the time, women were only taught to play piano and paint and learn about the culture. That's all. I mean, for someone who has no working experience at all and, you know, able to run the entire business, she has done a great job running the business, I must say.
Yeah, I agree. And she has introduced many new things under her lead as well, right? Like, I think she introduced... handbags that matches the shoes as well.
That's right.
And after that, they introduced the menswear and other accessories as well, perfumes, scarves, and other things as well, right?
And when she took over the business, she made 800 pairs of shoes one in a month. And then by 1981, they made 60,000 a month in addition to selling, like you said, handbags and even menswear. And she also introduced eyewear back in 1990s, and she opened stores in New York, Hong Kong, Mumbai, as well as Mexico City. Now that Wanda Ferragamo is gone, the business is going to be handled by her son, Ferruccio, who is now president and chairman, and then her daughter, Giovanna Gentile Ferragamo, who is the vice chairwoman, her son, Massimo, who is chairman of Ferragamo USA, her son Leonardo, who is also a senior executive, and 23 grandchildren and many, many great-grandchildren. Yeah. So I think the family would lead on the rest of the Ferragamo legacy for almost 70 descendants, I would say.
Yeah, I think family values is very important to her. And she's even set a rule that no in-laws were allowed to work for the company. So you gotta be a Ferragamo.
Well, I mean, if I'm their in-law, I don't mind, so long I'm related to Ferragamo. I super, super love Ferragamo shoes. So I must say they have the best shoes, well, for my feet. So it's super comfy, elegant at the same time, with this little bow in front. So I hope to see more great designs from their kids, I would say. I think they'll do a great job.
Yeah, Salvatore was known for his very innovative design, right? I think he invented a few things like the witch heel, which he made out of cork. And before his death, the company actually had 350 patents and over 20,000 shoe patents.
It's crazy, right?
It's a lot.
And now for the next story, we move on to Alexander Wang. So Alexander Wang's CEO, Lisa Gersha, resigned after serving as the CEO for the brand for just a little over 1 year. I'm not too sure what exactly the reason is, but I guess it's probably the same as Jenna Lyons, as we mentioned last week, who left J.Crew due to its declining sales of the business. Now, the company has undergone plenty of changes over the past, over the last year, including dropping out of New York Fashion Week to show on a pre-collection schedule and switching up how product will be delivered to stores to follow a drop style model.
Yeah, this drop style is very, I think, very streetwear, I feel.
Right?
Yeah, and it's You know, this style is a combination of, you know, when you have a coveted label and then you have new products and in very limited quantities. Mm-hmm. I think it in the social media generation, I think it's more applicable, I guess.
That's right. I totally agree. But, you know, for the time being, Alexander Wang himself will resume serving as CEO with the support of the senior management and the board while searching for Gersh's replacement.
Yeah. Lisa Gersh, I think before joining Alexander Wang, she was working with Gwyneth Paltrow,
yes,
actress,
that's right.
Yeah, for lifestyle project Goop. And right before that, she was working with Martha Stewart's Living Omni Media. So I'm not too sure how she got into Alexander Wang, because before that, she was more of a lifestyle kind of person. So, yeah.
And then, you know, and Wang also just announced a collaboration with Uniqlo, which is a project that should help both raise the brand's profile and provide it with a bit of cash, I must say, hopefully. So talking about Wang and Uniqlo, they have also teamed up to create a new range of underwear, all made with the Japanese mega retailer's proprietary and much beloved Heat Tech.
Ooh, I tell you, Heat Tech is one of the most amazing creations ever, especially in during winter.
Right, I think it's the best invention ever. Do you buy Heat Techs?
Heat Tech is so important, I feel.
You think so?
It's almost a very, you know, normally people say, oh, this is an essential, but then I think this really is an essential.
Well, you know what? I used to buy Heat Tech from those travel shops and it's so thick and it's so unfashionable. I ended up buying at Uniqlo. And they're amazing. So now, apart from just the underwear that Alexander Wang and Uniqlo have teamed up, the line includes bras and briefs, you know, as well as body suits, tees and leggings. And then it's available in men's and women's, you know, and, you know, coming in a selection of neutral colours as well, right?
I think it's very smart of Alexander Wang to go for the Heat Tech route, because, Uniqlo sees itself not only as a fashion company, but as a technological company as well. So it's great to see designers, you know, use this Japanese innovation and give their own spin on it. I think according to their data, back in 2008 alone, they sold about 28 million units of Heat Tech. And that shows you how popular it is.
Well, it's a norm thing to have like Heat Tech tees or Heat Tech long sleeves or maybe tights, you know. But Heat Tech underwear.
And branded ones as well with a famous designer.
Well, it keeps you warm all the time. You can never be afraid to be cold then, right?
The technology is quite interesting actually, because you're using your own body heat to keep you warm. Apparently, they use fibers that absorb moisture that your body emits. And the fabric itself generates heat. So just wearing it automatically warms you up. That's
crazy.
I'm just thinking,
you know, wearing Heat Tech underwear. I mean, would it be too hot for down there?
I mean, depends where, which country you're in. Definitely in Malaysia.
Yeah, you're not going to wear Heat Tech in Malaysia, but I mean, in colder countries, they always say that, you know, air production, you need to have some air production below, right? And you know what? They have great colors. Like I mentioned, you know, a selection of neutral colors. And as well, of course, in Wang's favorite shade of neon green. I showed you the neon green earlier, right?
I find it hard to believe that that's his favorite color.
Right?
I only see him in black all the time, or like even just gray. So, I'm not sure why suddenly neon green is his favorite color, but
and the price is pretty much affordable. It's about $15 to $35. So, in more good news for the designers, if you buy Alexander Wang and Uniqlo's briefs, you know, don't forget to hashtag Wang Gang.
Wang Gang.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bloody great idea to combine Heat Tech and underwear together, I must say. But obviously, it's more practical for winter countries and not Malaysia, right? It's super hot right here. But then again, Uniqlo sells winter clothes and, you know, Heat Techs at the same time. And we usually buy Heat Techs from Uniqlo right now. Yeah. I mean, they have amazing, amazing designs.
And also, like, you know, when it comes to winter clothing, if you're traveling, I think it's not that cheap as well and not that easy to find good winter clothes. And Uniqlo has become the destination for people to go to, right?
Yes, and it's affordable at the same time.
Very affordable.
And I like it when they have this value buy corner. Mm. And, you know, you just walk in one day, just search. You can just get pretty good buys from there.
Mm.
So, well, I guess, you know, sales will boom no matter what with this Heat Tech underwear. Will you buy one?
I will.
That's all the news we have for you this week. Stay tuned, because coming up next, I speak to YQ, the Managing Director of Burlington Taylor. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File. We just wrapped up the headlines and it's time for our style maker for this week, YQ of Burlington Taylor. Burlington Taylor is one of Malaysia's top choices for bespoke suits. Known for its respectful treatment of clients, their tailors harness their years of experience in doing the best they can to accommodate for each customer's personal taste and preferences. But Burlington Taylor certainly had to earn this reputation, and YQ, their managing director who took over after his late father, joins us on the show to explain just how they did it. He walks us through their wide selection of fabrics, their impressive clientele, and the often misunderstood art of suit making. Now, YQ, at 24, you were in the business together with your father, and then 6 months later, you left. And then when you were 26, you joined back the company and you took over Burlington Taylor from your late father. Now, tell us about your history with tailoring.
The first time I joined the tailor is when I was 24 years old. But actually, I born in this industry. So when I was young, I always see how my dad sew a suit to stitch a suit to a client. So I saw they are working very hard. So I don't really like to join this business at the beginning. So that's why when I was 24 years old, when I joined, I don't understand how the business work. So the first time when I joined, I thought, how can a company without like a system, without a website, without customer service. So I go in, try to change lots of things, but end up it's not what my parents want. Mm-hmm. Then I decide to quit in 6 months later. I do some research. After 2 years, 26 years old, I go in when I'm really ready. So I'm 29 now, so about 3.5 years in this business.
You left 6 months later when you were 24 years old and joined back when you were 26. So during the period of time, what did you do that, you know, prepare yourself to be in this business?
Study. First thing, I study a lot more about men fashions before I go in. During the first time I go in my shop, I wear slippers with mm-hmm. shorts. Then my dad say like, what are you doing? And say, it's okay. No people see what I'm wearing. I don't understand how it's fashions by back then. So when I quit, I really go to study more about men's fashions. I go to read more articles. I go to look at more images. And then I really understand, I try to understand what is men's fashions about and mm-hmm. why suits so important. And most important, what is like bespoke suits? What is the difference between like ready-made and why our suit is so different with others and how is the business work.
Now, I know that you've been involved with other companies before Burlington Taylor, like Herbalife as well as Happy Time Kitchen. Now, why did you decide after this, you know, that a tailoring business would be the best option?
All right. The main reason I'm not joining at the beginning is I don't want to end up with like my parents because they've been working so hard, they don't have time to travel. I don't want to be like them. That's why I try my own way. But at the end, I joined back the business mainly at the beginning is purely because of my mom.
Right.
Because I was ego. But after joining the business, only I see the beauty of the business. The people I met, the things that I learned is really different than others. So if you give me a chance that to choose a tailor business or other business, I will choose back tailor business.
Now, I want to talk about a little bit of history about Burlington Taylor. Now, it was founded in 1995 by your late father, Mr. Wong Kok Sing. Why did he decide to start it?
Actually, his tailor business started way back since he was 15 years old. He learned the tailor business in Singapore. He learned the tailor skill in Singapore, and then he moved back Malaysia to start his own stitching at home. Mm-hmm. After 1 year, he get enough money and there was one tailor about to close down. That is how he buy over the business and he start, that's how the business start.
I mean, how has it changed from then till now?
At the beginning of the business, he tried to serve most of the people, mm-hmm. whoever just would need a suit. But after moving into Bangsar Shopping Centre, which we start the Berliner Tailor, the brand, we started only serve the clients that my dad's really happy with because he was 60 years old that time, and he only stitched suits for people that really like his cutting and believe in Belins and Taylor and understand. The most important is understand how a suit, because a lot of people come in just thought a suit just a piece of cloth, and then they do understand the art. They don't really care about the art. The only things they care about is the price, which is what my dad don't really focus on these kind of clients. Yeah.
When you took over the business, what was the experience like, you know, following your father's footsteps? I mean, were you ever concerned about not being able to live up to expectations, you know, set by him? Or, you know, have you ever tried to modernize the way he work?
Actually, I do. I mean, that's why when the first time I joined, the first 24 years old, I go in with ego. I tried to change everything. So my dad was quite upset because I don't believe in him. And I say, whatever you do is wrong. Then I quit. After that, I go in when I was 26. When I go in, I try to slow down. I try to understand more. I try to understand how can a business survive without all this kind of thing back end, and how to raise me, send me to Australia to study. So after I study more, I understand the unique about what my dad did is he understand most of the customer requirements. He understand how the customer need. So because we are serving the top of the people, the very premium people, we do not need so much of selling to. We do not need so much of oversell or too much of promoting.
No hard sell at all,
yeah,
right?
No hard sell at all. The only thing is we have to use our sincere heart to work as hard as possible to make sure the suit is come up whatever the clients need.
But your father had so many clients for so many years, you know. Was it difficult for you to understand each and every client, you know?
Of course. I should say our clientele, after I studied, we have the top 50 richest men in Malaysia. We at least have like 30% of them with us. And we have a lot of governors, and we have some royalties clients, not only in Malaysia. Those customers with my dad about 20, 30 years, even 40 years, it's very hard for me to follow up. So at the beginning, he didn't let me to communicate with these kind of clients. But after, when I was 27, 28, 1 year or 2 years after the business, I started to meet these kind of clients. I started to tell them what is my visions and how I can serve them as my dad served them. So after my dad retired last year, I have been serving these kind of clients since then.
I'm just very curious, where did the name Burlington come from?
If you just share a little bit about the tailor. So tailor start in a place called Silver Row back in 18th century. So Silver Row is at a place called Burlington Estate. So this Burlington Estate is no longer exists because they changed the name, but this is the place in London. So back then, Burlington is a very important place for all the tailor. So this is how inspired us to use Burlington as a name.
Then what about Savile Row Standard? Tell us what Savile Row Standard is all about.
I think maybe Savile Row Standard, which means bespoke. There is a different way of tailoring, like ready-made, made-to-measures, semi-bespoke or fully bespoke. So I believe the what we are doing is purely pure bespoke. For the moment you come in, you can choose a lot of different kind of fabrics. We have more than 18,000 type of fabrics for just a suit. And then when we will help you to pick the right suits, right fabrics for your suits, then after we get the right fabrics, we will try to discuss with you what is your style, what is your preference, and then whatever design you can thought of, we can make it. Like putting a diamond in the buttons or using a gold thread for the thread. Or even today, you come in my store, you look at a nice blue checkered suit, and you tell me, YQ, can you change the blue color to yellow thread? I will say yes, as long as you can wait and you can pay.
That's right. Now, I want to know, what's a good suit to you?
For me, as long as you feel comfortable with the suit, I think that is a good suit for you. Some people, they want very, very slim fit. there is no right and wrong, but if my dad generations, he don't like slim fit.
He likes to lose, right?
He want a clean cut. Mm-hmm. Not loose, but at least clean cut. But nowadays, some clients, they want like a lot of stretch around to show the chest is bigger, to show the suit is smaller than their chest. Mm-hmm. So if
But is that wrong though?
No, actually, there is no wrong. There is no right and wrong for fashions. I'd be very honest.
I saw like John Cena wearing this suit. So, he's got really big chest, big arms, you know, but it's just too big, right?
Yep. But if you...
I feel like the suit is going to tear off anytime soon.
Yep. But for him, this is what he wants. He wants to show people he is big size. If you do a suit, like as a regular person, you make a standard slim fit for him, you will feel like this suit is too big for him. If you don't discuss with the clients and you always have your own thought, you might lose this kind of client. So for Burlington Taylor, we always understand what is the clients. If the clients don't really know about what the design they're looking for, we will do some advice. But most importantly, we will study what is their background, what is their occupations, what is how often they use suits, and do they walk a lot or do they sit a lot? Do they travel a lot? And what kind of clients they looking or meeting or what kind of people they are going to meet and what is the objective of the suit for. So after that, we will come up with the suit suggestions for them.
Every suit of Burlington is said to be one-of-a-kind masterpiece. Stay tuned because we'll be back to find out more. I'm Adeline Chung and you're listening to Stylefile on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Adeline Chung on Stylefile. Early on, we spoke about the journey of Burlington, and now, why can you tell us why Burlington suits are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece and how their designs differ from each other?
Every suit is unique. First, because every suit have your own name, so it is unique. But rather than that is, every customer come in, you have different size. So in Burlington Taylor, we cut the suits according customer size. We don't cut according standard size because most of the tailor, they measure the clients and then they go to find a near standard size. They try to adjust it. In Burlington Taylor, we do in others way, the old style way. We take the measurements, we draw out, we pattern it according to the customer. So we can say, fortunately, the customer can get the best one of the suits only fit him. Unfortunately, he cannot give other people because the suit only fits
the person.
Yeah.
Right? And you mentioned earlier that you have a selection up to 18,000 fabrics to pick from. Now, which ones do you most commonly dabble with, you know?
In material, there is a huge. Normally for a suit, let's say most of the people, they go for wool. So 100% wool or wool with silk.
When working with clients, you know, how much freedom do they have, you know, when deciding how they want their suits to be like? And how do you ensure the perfect balance between their personal taste, you know, and your designer's creative choice?
Yeah, I think in our store, clients have pretty about 80 to 90% decisions to make whatever suits you want to make. We seldom reject customers, say like, oh, this I can't do. But there is some kind of law of suits. If you break off the law, so we will advise, if you really want to focus it, we will do it. Like some clients, they want, in this generations, rarely clients do four button suits.
Rarely.
Three button, also rare. If you do a three button suits now, he will make your lapel shorter. So we are Asians. We are not as tall as European. So three button will make you even shorter. So imagine a four button. It will make you even look shorter. So nowadays, people will tend to go two button, single breasted, or some one button for casual. This customer come in and he say he want four button. So we have to follow. So we cannot say, sorry, we don't do four button.
But do you tell them, do you advise the client like, okay, four buttons may not suit you?
Yeah, we do. We don't say no first. We ask the reason. He say in his life, he always wear four-button suits and he very comfortable with the four-button single-breasted suit. Then, we say yes. So, think about that. If we are not designed according to the customer body size, we cannot draw out the four-button suit because we don't know how to draw it because we don't have the standard size if we are not the bespoke tailor.
So does the Burlington tailor have any signature creative choices, you know, that, you know, they add to every design?
Yes, we do have some house cut. Most of our suits we use, the way that we cut it, we make sure it looks slim from front.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is belong to our house cut. You don't see so much difference between suits. Menswear is a little bit different with ladies, of course. But in menswear, the difference is on the detail.
Mm.
So like if you can see on my lapel button today, it's by hand stitch. And it's a rainbow color. So not lots of tailor shop in Malaysia, they provide hand stitch buttonhole. So every stitching is about 1 hour, more than 2,000 threads.
So what's the difference between hand sewn and machine? In terms of the outcome, is there a difference?
It's more handmade, more effort, it's mm-hmm. more unique. And for luxuries item, we like to be more, you're putting more efforts on a suit. And then with a machine, you cannot control the size so much. Mm-hmm. With the handmade, you can do basically everything. And then some people, like recently we do one for Malaysia flat. So we follow the Malaysia color mm-hmm. on the lapel. So we start with the different color first, and then we even do Italy flat. So this cannot be done by machine. This have to be done by human hand.
Mm.
That is what the difference.
Right. Yeah. Now, I know that suits are generally worn for very formal occasions, but has Burlington Tailor ever challenged this notion by designing suits perfect for a, you know, perhaps a casual setting?
When you say formal occasions for a suit, it's yes, but nowadays the world is changes.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen or youngsters, they like to wear suits more often. So now, quite popular customer order something called sport jacket. So sport jacket means a jacket that you can put in with any kind of pants, like chinos, like jeans, suit pants, every kind of pants, or even shorts. So with this kind of sport jacket, we clients tend to wear it during casuals, during Sunday morning, just have a tea break with friends, a family, everything they can wear. So
what color do usually people pick for a sports jacket?
Surprisingly green.
Green?
Yes.
What kind of green are we talking about?
Olive greens, dark olive greens, yeah. There was one story. In the mannequin in our front Berlin Taylor shop is a olive greens, dark olive green sport jacket. And it's done by my late father. So we have been arguing between, we have another tailor. So three of us been arguing, no one is going to buy a green jacket. So we should not put a green jacket on the window. So my dad was so, he was right. He make it and he put it. And then since then, that was one of our top
seller.
Not top seller, but inquiry. People look at that and come in. People look at that and come in.
So in terms of the prices for your jackets, I mean, can you tell us the range of your jackets?
So for jacket-wise, we start with 1,008.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can go up to like six digits.
Six digits?
Yes. And for suit-wise, the most...
Just for the jacket?
Just
or
for
the
jacket.
Just for the jacket, for not the whole suit.
Not the whole suit. Does not matter because the pants is not that expensive anymore if you talk about that. So for just give you an idea, for a suit, we start with 2,003. The most expensive suits we ever can sew is 650,000 just for one jacket and one pants.
I'm sorry, what? 650,000?
Yes, 650,000.
Jacket and the
pants.
Why is it so expensive? What is it about? How unique is it that costs so much?
These fabrics is used by 100% vicuna. Vicuna is a species of animals. It looks like alpaca species. So this, they name it as fabrics of God. So they are so fine. If you use 1 meter or 1 yard of these fabrics, you go in a small ring, he can just slip through because it's so fine.
And I'm sure you're well aware that the fashion industry is influenced by trends, right? And people's ever-changing taste. Now, what are the biggest trends in the world of suits as of now?
Suits don't change too much. But of course, because of the internet nowadays, whoever designers in Europe, is very famous and they're very good in social media that become the trends. Mm. So, example, one or two years ago, everyone is crazy about double-breasted because of Kingsman movie. So when Kingsman movie come, they use double-breasted. So in our shop, before the Kingsman movie, maybe about one or two suits per year, people order for double-breasted.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Kingsman movie, people start order double-breasted. But the trend only stay about 1 or 2 years. That means people only come in for one time or two times because they feel like it's not something they want.
Mm-hmm.
So they follow Tom Ford. Tom Ford, they have big lapels, high waistline for pants. Then they follow for 1 or 2 years, then they change again.
So in terms of Burlington Taylor at the moment, now that, you know, your late father is no longer around and you are taking over the entire company, how many people do you have in your team in terms of sewing, sourcing of fabrics? How does it work?
All right. Recently, we just take over a semi-workshop. So we just joint venture with another workshop. So in the store, we have 3 tailors. And then in the back end, we have 6 tailors. So the sewing, the workers, stitchers, everyone's, we have about nearly 70 to 80 workers, including my own.
Now, moving on to the next question. What do you hope for in the Burlington Taylor's future? Will your father's legacy be preserved, or, you know, are you planning to make more changes?
Before I joined Burlington Taylor, my goal is just to make an exit plan for Burlington Taylor in 5 years, because my dad is going to retire, was going to retire last time, and then he do know who is taking over the business. So my plan was, okay, I'm going to make the Burlington Taylor as a brand, then we try to sell it. But after really putting myself in the business, I feel like this is a really good business. And my futures for Burlington Taylor, I hope that this brand is being more well-known for internationally. That's why I started to do private fittings. I went to Sri Lanka every 1 month, and then I went to Dubai every 3 months. So we meet this kind of royalty or different VVIP. So we personally go and just measure them. We bring most of the luxury fabrics we able, and then we go to discuss with them. We show them the fabrics. Then we come back, we stitch it, we go over and do their fitting. So with this practice, it's about 6 months now. We able to almost double our business. So I think this is a good start. So hopefully in the future, I can have every week I go to one country. Every week I go to one country, yeah.
Now, and finally, where can our customers find you?
We have a website. Our website is www.belindentaylor.com, or else you can Google Belinda Taylor.
That was YQ telling us all about Burlington Taylor. Stay tuned, because coming up next is Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, with her thoughts on yet another fall trend, oversized knitted sweater. But before that, here's one of my favourite songs. It's by Ella Fitzgerald featuring Louis Armstrong with Dream a Little Dream of Me. This is Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Starfall. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And our Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, explains how you should be styling your oversized sweaters. And now this week, we are talking about oversized knitwear, or you can call it wool sweaters. Like the name suggests, they're literally oversized wool sweaters. Now, this is a trend that resurfaces every fall, and there's a reason for that. There's just so much appeal to it. Super comfy, very practical. You can pair it with just about anything. We're talking about skinny jeans, leggings, skirts, and so on. Very minimal effort required when styling it into an outfit. So are there any other elements of it that, you know, people find appealing?
I mean, you always have your tailored sweaters. Sweaters are pretty much, you know, a yearly thing. You know, you can, it can be worn all over the year. You have your turtlenecks, you have your sweaters, you have your cardigans, but mostly in like basic colors, neutral colors. But the trend right now, it's, are those that, you know, will swallow you whole. Extra chunky, completely oversized, sometimes unflattering, but kind of a, like in purpose way.
Right.
And it kind of makes you feel all snug. You know, cardigans these days, you don't just wear it as a layering piece on top of like, you know, a dress or a top. Cardigans these days, you can wear it like all buttoned up and, you know, as a top itself, despite, you know, the fabric.
It's also a very bold and, you know, confident fashion statement, I would say. You know, being able to pull off a supersized garment and not looking messy and loose at the same time, it, you know, instead resembles a robe, right? Yes. So now let's talk about its practicality, because that seems to be a big thing, you know, when with oversized sweaters. So it's perfect for everyday casual wear, mostly in office, you know, that is super cool at Antarctica. So when styled with a pair of skinny jeans or leggings, but what about as formal wear? Are there any ways to pair it with a formal outfit?
Actually, with the variety of sweaters that's out there right now, there are a lot of sweaters which are designed with, you know, embellishments like diamantes, even with sequins and embellishments that make it look a lot more dressed up rather than frumpy, as you would think of, you know, like a cotton material hoodie, like an oversized hoodie kind of material. So those are the ones that you can actually pair with like satin, play with silks, or, you know, even a brocade skirt to make it look formal.
So what are the best runways that you've seen so far?
So there are two which I like to talk about. First of all, Sakai. Mm-hmm. So if you've looked at the Sakai runways for Fall Winter 18, you'd see that Chito Seabe, the designer, she put together, you know, a dizzying array of, you know, colors, materials, patchworking garments together. It's like beautiful knitwear craft with, you know, Aztec prints, and it's just a mismatch of, you know, all the different types of, you know, knitwear that's out there into something that's really graphic and really bold. And then on the other side, you have Christopher Kane, who did a more sophisticated grown-up take on these knitwear. So his kind of knitwear is the one that I was talking about that was a lot more formal. So he had diamante fringe sweaters that were paired with long, oversized skirts with embellishments as well, and worn with, like, you know, knee-high boots.
Well, as we all know, wool sweaters, knitwear, it's not really super practical in Malaysia, apart from, you know, wearing it in the office and all. Yep. How would you style it?
I'd probably wear it with, you know, a shorter skirt or something that isn't as covered on the bottom, so you can have the knitwear, or actually, you know, wear it over perhaps like a tank top or a spaghetti top.
So do you think you would invest in this particular trend?
I'll probably invest in those in like muted shades that I, you know, can like pair with anything. They're really versatile. Not so much with the ones, the graphic ones, unless it's a really beautiful piece, you know, with beading, with sequins embellishments, that's, you know, an occasion piece.
If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with our podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. And guess what? We are also available on Spotify. Just follow us on Spotify at BFM 89.9. If you want to be in touch with me, you can tweet me at BFM Radio or Adeline CSK. Now, before that, here's Billie Holiday for you with Summertime. And this has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.